Hi, this is Jonathan Mosen, and I'd like to take some time to introduce you to MobileSpeak Pocket from Code Factory and to show you how I'm using the product on a daily basis. MobileSpeak Pocket is an innovative and major breakthrough, in my view, to access for blind people. In the past, if you wanted to use Pocket PC applications, the only way to do that has been to buy a proprietary piece of hardware that's rather expensive and large. And if you're going to do that, then my view has always been you may as well go ahead and buy a small sub-notebook laptop and use a Braille display such as the Brailliant, in which case you get access to full Windows applications without being constrained by a Pocket PC. For sighted people, the real advantage of having a Pocket PC is the ultra-portability, the fact that you literally can take one of these devices in your pocket with you. And now, blind people have that freedom as well. It's possible for a blind person to go to their local computer store, pick up a PDA that runs Windows Mobile 2005, preferably, and I'll talk about that a little later, and install MobileSpeak Pocket on it. Then you have access to the Pocket PC applications that are on the device. You can download and install material from the web. Some of that will be quite accessible. There will be access challenges with other applications, just as there are in the Windows environment. But it does mean that you can try these things. And if you're the kind of person that likes to do that, to have the freedom to install whatever you want and to find out by trial and error what works and what doesn't, then you'll love MobileSpeak Pocket because it puts all of that in your hands on a Pocket PC device. There's something else that's really significant about MobileSpeak Pocket as well, and that is that Windows Mobile also comes with a Pocket PC phone edition. The idea here is that as well as all of the Pocket PC functions that you'll find on all PDAs that run Pocket PC or Windows Mobile 2005, you'll also be able to use your Pocket PC as a cell phone. For the last couple of years, blind people have enjoyed excellent access, finally, to cell phones that run the Symbian operating system, particularly Symbian Series 60. There are many Nokia phones out there now, running on carriers around the world, that we can, for the first time, truly access in their entirety. Every single menu option talks, you can configure the phone exactly the way that you want. There's one big downside, though, and that is that Symbian phones are only available for GSM networks, and not all networks run the GSM standard. GSM is very common, and is used in most parts of the world, but there are some networks that run alternative technologies, in particular CDMA, which is another form of encoding cellular signals. In the United States, companies like Sprint and Verizon use CDMA, and there are other CDMA networks in Asia and parts of the Pacific as well. So Windows Mobile will work with CDMA networks, and when you install MobileSpeak Pocket, for the first time, blind people who choose to use these other networks that are not GSM have a phone that is truly 100% accessible so that you can configure things exactly the way you want, explore your missed calls, work with contacts, everything that a sighted person takes for granted every time they pick up their cell phone. So as we go into the demonstration of this, I should emphasize what this isn't. It isn't a tutorial. It may not necessarily show you everything about how to use MobileSpeak Pocket. MobileSpeak Pocket does come with a comprehensive user guide, and I highly recommend that you take a look at it, because although the Pocket PC environment does have a kind of Windows look and feel, there are some significant differences. The other thing that you may find unusual and perhaps a little challenging at first is that, of course, Pocket PC is quite touchscreen centric. And as a blind person, in the past, whenever I've heard the term touchscreen, it's always sent shivers up my spine and I've been worried about inaccessibility. One of the beautiful things about MobileSpeak Pocket is the way that they have implemented a user interface that allows a blind person to take advantage of the touchscreen. If you're going to be doing any serious input, such as writing documents, then you're going to have to use a keyboard of some description. Some PDA devices come with a keyboard built in, and I'll talk about the one that I use that offers that. Others will require you to use a keyboard, which you would generally pair using Bluetooth technology. Bluetooth is a short-range wireless communication standard that allows devices to talk to one another. But if you're just doing some basic opening of a web page or getting somewhere, then in fact the Pocket PC without any keyboard attached is usable by a blind person when you install MobileSpeak Pocket. Code Factory has clearly put a lot of effort into the user interface, and they've done a marvellous job. Some of the solutions that they've come up with are really quite ingenious. There are two input methods. One is the keyboard simulator mode, and when you go there, you're arrowing round, and you can hear keys as you arrow through them, and you can make a selection. You also use other keys on the PDA to choose what keys you want to enter. Now that sounds like it could be quite cumbersome, and it's certainly nowhere as efficient as touch typing, but it's surprising how quickly you can navigate and make your selection when you're used to where these keys are placed in the keyboard simulator mode. The other option is to go into virtual keyboard mode, and that way you can use the touch screen on your PDA. Now, when I first heard about this, I thought, man, yeah, how blind-friendly is this? It's actually surprising when you get used to your own device and you do this enough, how accurate you can become. You probably do need to do a bit of backspacing and correcting. And that's why I say that, you know, if you're really going to be entering some serious stuff here, then you'll want to use a QWERTY keyboard of some description, I'm sure. But when you're just entering maybe a URL, or you want to type a very quick text message, something like that, then this is certainly very usable, either of these two methods, in fact. Let's talk a little about installation and what happens when you get a Pocket PC out of the box, literally. The Windows environment has really perfected screen reader installation to a fine art. I'd say a good 98-99% of all screen reader installations go extremely smoothly. There are one or two issues sometimes with video chaining and things, but in general, screen reading installation has become extremely accessible and problem-free in Windows. But we've all been messing about with Windows for well over a decade now, and so the screen reader developers have had a lot of time to get it right. Access to Pocket PC is new. Just as there are people who choose, even with Windows installation being so easy as it is these days, to have their access technology pre-installed by an assistive technology company so they can take a PC out of the box, plug it in, and know that it's going to talk, so too there will be people who want to be able to take a Pocket PC out of the box, turn it on, and have it talk. And Humanware will be offering a package such as that, so that you can order the complete package from us, and then you can go ahead and turn it on and know that it is going to go. This is one of the really nice advantages, by the way, of Windows Mobile 2005. With previous editions of Pocket PC, if your battery ran flat and you left it long enough, you would effectively hard reset the device, and any programs that you had installed would be zapped and you'd have to go through the installation process again. That issue has been resolved with Windows Mobile 2005, so that's a significant step forward. If you are the kind of person who is very computer literate and you don't mind doing a little bit of asking around if necessary, then you can certainly go ahead and pick up a Pocket PC of your choice. Make sure that it is, of course, supported by MobileSpeak Pocket. You can go to the Code Factory website. You can download a copy of MobileSpeak Pocket. You can choose the voice that you want to use, and you can go ahead and do an install. When you do this, you're going to have to do a couple of things. The first is that every time you buy a new Pocket PC and you turn it on, the Pocket PC will want you to align the screen. This also applies if you hard reset the device, which effectively sets everything to factory defaults, as if you'd never turned the device on before. Because whether you're blind or sighted, you are going to have to do some tapping of the screen. It's important that the screen is calibrated or aligned so that where you're tapping and where the system thinks you're tapping are the same place. MobileSpeak Pocket has thought about this, and Code Factory have come up with a screen alignment utility that allows you to perform this function, and this is well documented. There are also alignment files that Code Factory can supply for particular well-supported devices. For example, I was able to contact Roselle at Code Factory, and she was able to send me an alignment file for my device that made the process of screen alignment extremely easy. And who'd have thought, really, because only about a year ago, people would have considered this whole screen alignment concept extremely visual and prohibitive, and yet Code Factory have come up with a solution that deals with that. To do anything, really, with a Pocket PC, you require an active sync connection. This allows you to install software to synchronize data between your PC and your Pocket PC, and also to run this remote screen alignment utility. Getting an ActiveSync connection up and running is generally very straightforward. I just installed ActiveSync 4.1 from Microsoft, which is a free download from the Microsoft site, on my PC. And in most cases, when you buy a Pocket PC, you'll find that ActiveSync is included on a CD, often along with a copy of Microsoft Outlook as well, if you don't have that. Microsoft Outlook is, in my view, a wonderfully efficient way to interact with email. It's quite different in some respects from Outlook Express, and it just is so efficient and easy to use that I would never choose any other option for email on the PC. So if you don't own Microsoft Office, then one of the bonuses of getting a Pocket PC device is that you will get a copy, in most cases, of Microsoft Outlook. You connect via USB, and generally the process is automatic. The devices sense one another and an active sync connection is established. You are asked to confirm which parameters you want to synchronize. For example, do you want to synchronize your contacts? Do you want to synchronize your appointments from your Outlook calendar? And if so, how far back do you want to go with that process? Favorites, music, and more. If you're a BrowNote user, you'll already be familiar with ActiveSync, which the BrowNote was the first to implement in the blind community 6 years ago. And the nice thing is that Microsoft Outlook acts as a kind of conduit, so you can use the KeySync utility with ActiveSync to synchronize your contacts and your planner with Microsoft Outlook, and then of course you can synchronize your Pocket PC, so you can operate a common set of contacts on all three devices, which is the way I have things running, and this works really well for me. When you establish this connection and you've done the screen alignment, you can go ahead and install MobileSpeak Pocket. It isn't absolutely necessary to do the screen alignment first, but you are going to probably have to do the alignment at some point or other, so do make sure that it gets done. The device does seem to be happier when it's aligned. It will sometimes come up with little messages that are not accessible, obviously, until you get MobileSpeak Pocket up and running. And even then, these messages can come up before MobileSpeak Pocket has a chance to start, so it is a good idea to get the alignment process out of the way. You can do an install once the ActiveSync connection is established, and you can choose from a range of voices. I use the DeckTalk voice from Phonix because it is fast, it's very efficient in terms of not taking up too much space on the device, and it's responsive. So you can make a choice between whether you want the very small footprint of DeckTalk and the snappiness, the responsiveness, or whether you want the very clear human-like sounding speech that is offered by Loquendo. This is really amazing speech, and I don't have Loquendo on my device right now, but I'm going to let you hear some examples of what Loquendo sounds like. Here are some of the Loquendo voices.
Welcome to MobileSpeak Pocket, 1 of 9. Thank you for choosing MobileSpeak Pocket, the powerful screen reader for your Pocket PC device. This wizard will guide you through the most important features of MobileSpeak Pocket. To exit this wizard, double tap on the screen. Use the left and right arrow keys located under the screen to move between pages. To repeat the contents of any page, press the Enter key, located in the middle of the arrow keys. Press the right arrow key to move to the next page.
Welcome to MobileSpeak Pocket, 1 of 9. Thank you for choosing MobileSpeak Pocket, the powerful screen reader for your Pocket PC device. This wizard will guide you through the most important features of MobileSpeak Pocket. To exit this wizard, double tap on the screen. Use the left and right arrow keys located under the screen to move between pages. To repeat the contents of any page, press the Enter key, located in the middle of the arrow keys. Press the right arrow key to move to the next page.
Welcome to MobileSpeak Pocket, 1 of 9. Thank you for choosing MobileSpeak Pocket, the powerful screen reader for your Pocket PC device. This wizard will guide you through the most important features of MobileSpeak Pocket. To exit this wizard, double tap on the screen. Use the left and right arrow keys located under the screen to move between pages. To repeat the contents of any page, press the Enter key, located in the middle of the arrow keys. Press the right arrow key to move to the next page.
Welcome to Mobile Speak Pocket, 1 of 9. Thank you for choosing Mobile Speak Pocket, the powerful screen reader for your pocket PC device. This wizard will guide you through the most important features of Mobile Speak Pocket. To exit this wizard, double tap on the screen. Use the left and right arrow keys located under the screen to move between pages. To repeat the contents of any page, press the Enter key located in the middle of the arrow keys. Press the right arrow key to move to the next page.
So as you can hear, that is extremely human-like kind of speech, and it's great to see this sort of technology making its way onto mobile devices like Pocket PC. So well done to Liquindo and Code Factory for that collaboration. DeckTalk is not sounding like it used to be quite frank, and I know a lot of blind people have talked to Phonics about this and that they're trying to work on this issue. Somewhere along the line they have lost that wonderful DeckTalk quality that used to exist. The synthesizer is very responsive, as I say, though, and it's small, and that's why I use it. But we're certainly hoping that in the future DeckTalk will sound a little more like DeckTalk used to sound, and we'll hear that as we proceed through this demo. The installation process can be quite straightforward, and maybe it won't be. What happens is that you run an application on your PC, and Code Factory have done a lot of work to make this accessible. What happens, though, is that sometimes there is software on the device that may interfere with the process. For example, some devices have virus checking software built into the ROM image. There is an issue in Windows Mobile 2005 at the time of recording, where you may get a message saying that a particular CAB file, installation file, hasn't been certified, and do you want to install it anyway? You need to press soft key 1 on the device to proceed, and we'll talk about the concept of soft keys a little bit later. Often, I find that installations will complete if you just hit soft key 1 periodically for the installation to continue. If some other issue comes up along the way, though, it may not complete. But I think for most people the installations seem to be going very successfully. Ideally, if possible, if you have a sighted person who comes in as a reader or something like that, and you can get someone to watch you the first time you install, that might be a good thing, only because the process can vary a wee bit from device to device. When the installation process is over, then all being well, the program will come up talking and take you through a wizard, and we'll show you that wizard in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I'll talk a little bit about the device that I am using. It is a Qtech 9100. And I should talk a little bit about exploring for devices, because obviously with additional choice and freedom comes burdens. It's always the way, isn't it? And so I found myself doing a lot of research. These devices, you know, they're reasonably cost-effective, but they're not cheap, and you want to make sure you're buying the one that suits you best. When I did my research, I found that I was interested in a device that had a phone in it, because otherwise I'd just have to carry one more device with me, and concluded that I probably wouldn't. So it needed to replace my phone and give me benefits of things that I couldn't do with the Nokia 6630 that I was using. When I did my research, I found that a lot of these devices are being made by the one company, HTC, and they brand them for a range of other manufacturers or distributors. So the Qtech 9100 that I'm using is also known as the HTC Wizard. It's known as the iMate KJAM, the T-Mobile MDA, and also the Singular 8125. Now, there are some differences in terms of the way they look and the ROM image, but by and large, it's the same box, slightly differently branded with different colours, different keyboards sometimes, just to kind of differentiate the products. Under the hood, though, you're getting roughly the same kind of processor specs and the same kind of technology. My Qtech 9100 is 109 by 58 by 23 millimeters, and it weighs 160 grams. It has a TI OMAP 200 megahertz processor, although I've done quite a bit of extensive diagnostics on this device, some benchmarking, and the processor is clocking in at its default at around about 180 megahertz. That is not fast, and it has put some people off buying this device. I have found that it is not fast enough to run Skype for Pocket PC on its own, but it is possible to run Skype for Pocket PC on this device with a little bit of massaging. You basically have to overclock the processor, which you should do very carefully, because there could be some side effects of doing that if you overclock the processor. But I've been able to run the processor using a piece of software freely available for download off the internet at about 252 megahertz without any apparent side effects, and at that point Pocket Skype is working really great. It has a mini SD slot, and the largest mini SD capacity you can get now is a 2 gigabyte card. I was able to pick one of those up for around about $60 online. And they also come with a little adapter so that you can use them with a traditional larger SD slot, which is great because it allows me to share data between my Pocket PC and my BrailleNote. The QTEC 9100 offers GPRS connectivity, which is a way of transmitting data over cellular networks. It also offers Edge, which is faster than GPRS. It does not offer 3G, and so if you're in markets where you have 3G access and that's important to you, then that is a downside of this phone. It offers 802.11b and G Wi-Fi access, and it works with Bluetooth. It has an infrared port and a USB client port. It has a 1.3 megapixel camera, and you can not only use that for still photos, but also for videos. This is quite cool. I know that some people think, well, what's a blind person doing with a camera? But it is nice if you have sighted family members and you're with people, and you can just take some video or photos of where you are, and of course you can send it via MMS message or email on the device itself straight back to them over a Wi-Fi or some other high-speed network. It has a speakerphone built into the device, and it has a QWERTY keyboard. It doesn't look like it does. It's quite nice. When you pick up the phone, it's slightly fatter and heavier than my Nokia 6630. And it just feels like a Pocket PC with a screen. But then I slide the screen to the right, and I now have a QWERTY keyboard. It's very compact, and if you're the kind of person that has difficulty with keys extremely close together, you are not going to like this. You may be better getting some sort of Pocket PC device where you get a Bluetooth keyboard that's more full-sized, such as the HP Bluetooth keyboard, and pair it that way. The ThinkOutside keyboard is also quite popular. This keyboard does not have a number row. You have to hold the function key down, and then the QWERTY row at the top becomes the number row. Punctuation is in some very odd places. For example, the period or full stop key is to the immediate right of the space bar, and you press the function key to get a comma on that same key. But it is doable. It reminds me a bit, in fact, my experience with this keyboard of how I felt the first time I used a BrailleNote PK. And I know other people have had this experience too, where they've said, well, how do you braille on this thing? And my first thought when I had a look at this keyboard was, how am I ever going to type on this thing? But what you have to do, I think, is get out of the habit of touch typing. You're just going to have to use a finger on each hand. I know some people use their thumbs. I can't do that. I have to use a finger on each hand to type, and that way it seems to work quite well. And I do now think that I'm at the point where I'm sending messages on this faster than I was when I was using T9 on my Nokia 6630, and I got pretty good at that. So I'm definitely getting some good speed with this QWERTY keyboard. I'm just going to slide the screen back, and it closes now. Interestingly enough, when you slide the screen out, the whole layout of the touch screen changes from portrait to landscape mode, because you're obviously going to face a different way with the phone, and the phone is sensitive to that, so it's quite an intelligent kind of design. The QTEC 9100 in its specs boasts up to 200 hours of standby time. And the standby time is really good with this device. If you're not playing with it all the time, as I have been, to get familiar with it, it's quite good. It can go for days and days without being charged. And it boasts up to 4 hours talk time. If you use this device a lot, because we're using sound, obviously, to get feedback, then it will chew through the batteries. This is another good reason, perhaps, for opting for Braille, if you have that option. There are a number of Braille displays that Mobile Speak Pocket is already working with, including the Brailliant from Humanware. So if you get a nice little Brailliant 24, for example, which is Bluetooth capable, and you pair it with one of these phones, you've got a pretty nice package in there. Incidentally, I have the PDA connected to my mixer so that you can hear it clearly, but sometimes it is making some interesting interference in the recording, so if you can hear some background electronic noise, that's where it's coming from. Let us now have a look at Mobile Speak Pocket. When you do the install, you will get a wizard which pops up and it will automatically start talking and familiarize you with the way that Mobile Speak Pocket works. So let's have a listen to how that sounds.
Welcome to Mobile Speak Pocket, 1 of 9. Thank you for choosing Mobile Speak Pocket, the powerful screen reader for your pocket PC device. This wizard will guide you through the most important features of Mobile Speak Pocket. To exit this wizard, double tap on the screen. Use the left and right arrow keys located under the screen to move between pages. To repeat the contents of any page, press the enter key located in the middle of the arrow keys. Press the right arrow key to move to the next page. Smartphone 2003 window.
So it's clever because at the same time as telling you about Mobile Speak Pocket, it's also giving you some orientation to your device. It is correct that under the screen I have a set of arrow keys up, down, left and right. It's kind of a four-way position control. And then I have an enter button in the middle of those arrow keys. In fact, when I use the keyboard, those keys are on the right-hand side because the device is in landscape mode. But I'm going to press the right arrow key now and move on to the second screen.
Hardware keys. 2 of 9 most pocket PC devices come with several keys located below the screen and on the sides of the device. The arrow keys and the enter key are usually located below the screen. There are also some extra keys that Mobile Speak Pocket will use to perform basic tasks. These keys are Tab, Alt, Control and Shift. Take a moment now to press each key on your device. As you press each key, its name will be announced. When you are finished, press the right arrow key to go to the next page.
So just as screen readers for Windows will take over certain keys and use them as a modifier, so Mobile Speak Pocket have taken over keys on a Pocket PC device and use them for purposes that help with the screen reading function. I've actually got my keyboard closed now because I don't really need to be using the QWERTY keyboard. So I'm holding the device so that the screen is in front of me. We're in portrait mode. Above the screen, I have a long bar. I can tap either side of that bar, and obviously this will differ very much depending on the device that you use. So this is just an example of how it works for me. If I tap the left-hand side of the bar, I get the tab function when Mobile Speak Pocket is running. The right-hand side gives me the Alt. Below the screen, I have a similar bar, and if I tap the left-hand side, we get button 1. The right-hand side is button 2. These are soft keys. And if you've ever used a Symbian cell phone before, you'll be familiar with this concept that the function of these keys will change depending on where you are and in what application you're in. And the introduction of the concept of soft keys in Windows Mobile 2005 is actually great news for blind people. On the right-hand side of the device, on the top right, we have another button which Mobile Speak Pocket is using as the shift key. And on the right-hand side of the bottom, we have another button that's being used as the control key. The shift and control are sticky. So you would tap the shift key and then perform your function and then tap the shift key again to turn it off, similarly with control and actually with Alt. Although if you execute a Mobile Speak Pocket command, then Mobile Speak Pocket assumes that you're done with the shift key or control key or Alt key and it will release them by itself. So that's how the keys work. There is another button on my device, which is known as button 5 at the top left, and that by default is assigned to the COM manager when the device is taken out of the box, but I'm using that for Microsoft Voice Command, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So I'm going to press the right arrow key and continue now.
Basic functions, 3 of 9. There are many different functions available, but let's learn the basic ones. The tab key will move focus from one control to the next. To go to the previous control, press and release the shift key and then press tab. The menu key is used to go to the current application's menu bar. Pressing the menu key and then the up arrow will move focus to the taskbar. To go to the next page now, press the right arrow key.
You can use the menu key in older applications that weren't designed for Windows Mobile 2005, but often I'm finding that with newer applications, the concept of the soft keys is often replacing the idea of having to tap this menu key, which is a single tap too. And we'll talk about the concept of tapping shortly.
Virtual keys, 4 of 9. In addition to the physical keys on the device, MobileSpeak Pocket provides 4 virtual keys. These keys are mapped in 4 squares on the screen and are arranged clockwise. Each key can be activated using different combinations of taps, single tap, double tap, and long tap, keeping the key pressed for half a second and releasing it. Take your time now to experiment with the virtual keys, single tap, double tap and long tap on each of the 4 virtual keys. When you are finished, go to the next page by pressing the right arrow key.
The idea here is that you can perform a wide variety of functions on a PDA without having to use any kind of external keyboard. This is particularly useful when you use a device that doesn't come with a QWERTY keyboard. So you can double tap the virtual key 1, and that will bring up the start menu, for example. If you single tap that same key, it will take you to the taskbar, and so on. Once you start using that with modifiers, then you've got quite a good range of functions that you can use. So, for example, you could do a control shift and single tap 1, or just shift, or just control, or maybe even alt. So there are all kinds of things that you can do with these virtual keys on the screen. What is interesting, though, is that with my particular phone, and I do have a colleague here at Humanware who has a Singular 8125 who is noticing this too, the keys are assigned differently. So although in most phones the tap 1 key is the top left, on my phone and on my colleague's Singular 8125, it's on the top right. So it is important to familiarize yourself with the key assignments just in case they are not where the manual says they are. And this is obviously one of the things that I've no doubt will be resolved in the future. It illustrates that, you know, when you use mainstream technology, things like this sometimes can happen. Let's press the right arrow key.
Input methods, 5 of 9. What would be the use of a PDA without the ability to type in text? MobileSpeak Pocket provides several ways to input text, ranging from software input panels to support for external QWERTY and Braille keyboards. To go to the next page, press the right arrow key.
I'll do that.
Control panel, 6 of 9. MobileSpeak Pocket provides a powerful and easy-to-use control panel that allows you to fully customize its behavior. From the control panel you can set various settings, such as text-to-speech properties, text input, hardware and virtual keys settings, taskbar settings, etc. The MobileSpeak control panel lets you save your settings using different profiles and switch between them at any time. To go to the next page, press the right arrow key.
MobileSpeak Pocket is remarkably configurable given that it is a relatively young screen reader. There is a concept called an MSP cursor, by the way, that allows you to explore the screen if you need to do that, and sometimes if an application isn't well behaved, then you may need to do that. There's also a lot of verbosity configurability in the control panel, as it talks about. There's an off-screen model, and there is a scripting language in MobileSpeak Pocket known as LUA. It's a commercial scripting language that's out there, so it's not proprietary to the screen reader and does allow you to do a lot of customization with applications. We'll press the right arrow key now.
Scripting language support, 7 of 9. Tired of using a limited macro-like scripting language? How about writing a script that captures anything that an application draws on the screen? Writing scripts for your favorite applications has never been this easy and powerful. MobileSpeak Pocket is powered by Lua, a scripting language which is used worldwide. Unlike proprietary scripting languages, there is plenty of easily accessible information about Lua, including books, articles, manuals, web pages and internet forums. To go to the next page, press the right arrow key. Other features, 8 of 9 Mobile Speak Pocket has been designed to provide a complete, powerful and easy-to-use working environment. Here are some other features of Mobile Speak Pocket. 1. Supports Pocket Internet Explorer, Word, Excel and Outlook. 2. Built-in online help system, even for third-party applications. 3. Supports a wide range of text-to-speech engines. Several voices can be installed on the same device. 4. Screen can be locked to prevent undesired taps. To go to the next page, press the right arrow key. You are now ready. 9 of 9, the entire Code Factory team wishes you a pleasant experience using Mobile Speak Pocket. We would like to remind you that a whole set of services are available for you at our webpage www.codefactory.es. You are now ready. Once you press the right arrow key, Mobile Speak Pocket will be launched. Enjoy the trip.
And that is a great introduction when you've just got this application up and running and you're not sure what to do. That wizard just introduces you to the product. It doesn't actually offer any configuration of any kind. It just orientates you to your PDA and to some of the notable features of Mobile Speak Pocket. There are ways of getting help in Mobile Speak Pocket. The applications often come with good help files, and Mobile Speak Pocket reads those very well. They're HTML, and it's got some good HTML rendering. We'll talk about that when we take a look at Internet Explorer a little later. There is some context-sensitive help available in Mobile Speak Pocket, and hopefully that will be extended even further in future releases. And the function that I used extensively when I was starting to get to know this device was the help mode that allows you to press any key and just find out what it does without actually executing any function. To get in there, we just hold the tab key down for about a second or so and let go.
Help mode on.
And Mobile Speak Pocket comes back with help mode on. Now we can have a play with this virtual key function idea where you can use taps, double taps, and long taps. So if I long tap the top right of my screen, which for most people seems to be the top left.
Long tap 1: activates the default input method in Mobile Speak Pocket.
If I double tap that virtual key 1.
Double tap 1: activates the start menu.
And single tap on 1.
Single tap 1: activates the taskbar.
Now we can introduce a modifier. So if I tap the control key.
Control.
Remember it's sticky, so it stayed on. I can let my finger up off the control key and then tap 1 again.
Control plus single tap 1: opens the Mobile Speak Pocket control panel.
So you can come back here at any time from anywhere in the operating system and just query what all these functions do. I'll turn control off.
Control off.
One useful function I've found, for example, is if I hold down the tap 4, so we do a long tap 4.
Long tap 4: reads the battery status, Bluetooth status and other information.
And to get out of this mode, we just hold the tab key down again.
Tab.
And let go. And it didn't do it. Let's just try a little bit longer on that.
Help mode off.
There we go. And it says help mode off. So that's a very useful feature. As long as you know that you hold down that tab key for a second or so and let go, you'll be in that help mode. You can press anything without damaging it or without executing any function and become familiar with what all these single tap and double tap things do. The one thing that I would really like is that it doesn't appear to work for me with some of the modifiers on the QWERTY keyboard. And when I was just getting used to the device, I really would have liked that feature, but perhaps that can be added in a later release as well. In terms of exploring some of the things that you can do with your Pocket PC when it's running Mobile Speak Pocket, a good place to start is probably where your Pocket PC itself starts when you first turn it on, and that is at the Today screen. So I'm going to double tap button 1. Now you can do this with a stylus, which is included with Pocket PC devices, or you can actually just use your fingertip. I find that works okay for me. What I did pretty much as soon as I got everything up and running was to go into the settings where there is a lot of configurability on these devices and told it to make a clicking sound every time I tapped the screen, which has really helped me to work out my single taps and double taps and long taps. And it may take a bit of getting used to, but it actually works quite well and it's very effective. I could also use the QWERTY keyboard that is built into my PDA because it does have a Windows key, and I can just tap the Windows key and that will bring up the start menu. But I don't have the keyboard open. I'm just going to double tap 1, which for most people is the top left on this device. At the moment it's the top right. I'll double tap it.
Today.
And it said today. I can now arrow through the start menu just by using my up and down arrow keys.
Calendar. Contacts. Internet Explorer. Messaging. Phone. Windows Media. Risco File Explorer.
That one is a program that I purchased off the internet upon the recommendation of a MobileSpeak Pocket email list member. It's excellent. It's actually an extended version of the File Explorer that comes with Windows, and it does a lot more. Next down arrow.
Risco Registry. Skype. Com Manager. Programs.
And if we go into programs, there's a submenu with a whole lot of other Pocket PC programs in there.
Settings. Help.
And now it'll wrap around again.
Today.
And if we press enter, we'll get to the Today screen.
Text messages colon one unread. Text messages colon one unread.
Okay, the Today screen, if we just go to the top of it.
Owner colon Jonathan, Tuesday, May 30th, 2006, 9:20 a.m.
Now, we're on the Today screen, which kind of gives you an overview of your day at a glance. I really do like the concept of the Today screen. I can down arrow through what it's showing me.
Owner colon Jonathan Mosen 1 open parenthesis 800 close parenthesis 722-3393.
So I've entered owner information in here in case it gets lost, and this displays pretty prominently on the Today screen. We'll continue to down arrow.
Text messages colon 1 unread.
Now, before recording this review, I sent myself a text message, and it is showing me on the Today screen that I have one unread text message. If I press enter, then it will go into the text message application and we can take a look at it.
Text messages window list 1,010,100,063 FRM colon Jonathan Mosen SUBJ colon hello 9:15 a.m. 1K text messages 1 items 1 unread.
So I can press
one, button 2 menu
enter on this and it will open the text message, so press enter.
Enter 1,010,100,000 text messages window 5/30/069:15 a.m.
I'm just down arrowing through it, but I can use a continuous read command as well.
From colon. Link 1,010,100,063.
That long number is because I sent this text message via Singular's email gateway. Singular is my cellular service provider.
Callback colon. FRM colon Jonathan Mosen.
So there's a callback link in there, which is really nice when you have a phone number, because you can just call your contact back from within the text message.
SUBJ colon hello. MSG colon this is a test text message.
Now we can look at the soft keys at this point to find out what our options are, and we can do that by first pressing the shift key, which on my device is on the upper right.
Shift.
And then single tap 2. Which on my device is the bottom right of the screen.
Button 1 reply, button 2 menu.
So let's press button 2, the right hand edge of the bar at the bottom of the screen.
Delete.
And the first option is delete, which is what I want, so I'll press enter on it.
List 1 billion. Text messages window list, no items. Text messages 0 items. Button 1 new, button 2 menu, list, no items.
Notice that so far I haven't even needed to use the QWERTY keyboard built into this device. I want to return to the Today screen, and to do that I'm going to double tap the virtual key 2 on the touch screen.
Today screen, button 1 calendar, button 2 contacts.
So what that did was close the application that I'm in and return me to the previous one that had focus. The concept of closing applications is interesting in Pocket PC because you don't actually, by default, close anything. You're just minimizing it. And memory management technology in Pocket PC is supposed to take care of things and close applications that haven't been used for a long time when additional memory is required. Some people don't like that approach, and you can download task managers that actually do genuinely close applications when you want them to be. Let's just down arrow.
Tuesday, May 30th, 2006, 9:24 a.m.
So we're back in the Today screen.
Owner: Jonathan Mosen, 1 open, Outlook e-mail: 1 unread.
Now, I synchronized my email with Microsoft Outlook, and at the time I did that, there was one email from Outlook that I hadn't read. If I pressed enter on that, I'd be able to go into my Pocket Outlook and read the email and reply to it, etc. I can also set up multiple accounts with this. I have my POP3 email set up separately from this. You can also set up Hotmail. It's fully supported, and of course it supports IMAP technology as well if you choose to use IMAP servers.
One active task, one high priority.
So we can press enter to take a look at this high priority active task, and it will take us into the tasks.
Tasks window, list, complete review of mobile speak poll, button 1 new, button 2 menu.
Okay, so it's slightly abbreviated, but we can press enter to take a look at this task.
Location, editor read only 2 lines, button 1 edit, button 2 menu, complete review of mobile speak pocket. Editor read only 2 lines, priority colon high, priority colon high, button 1 edit, button 2 menu, complete review of mobile speak pocket.
I'm pressing the tab key to move through this dialogue.
Editor read only 2 lines.
And that's all there is there, so we can get out of the task now by double tap 2.
List, tasks window, list, complete review of mobile speak poll, button 1 new, button 2 menu.
And if I press double tap 2 again, I'll be returned to my Today screen.
Today screen, button 1 calendar, button 2 contacts.
So this is, as you can see, going through and showing you what messages you have pending, what tasks exist. It gives you an overview of what you might be doing today. Let's continue to move through the Today screen.
Tuesday, May 30th, Outlook e-mail, 1 active, weekly conference call 4:00 p.m.-5:00 p.m. open parenthesis New Zealand confer.
Okay, that is showing me my appointments now, and it tells me that I have a weekly conference call at 4 this afternoon. So it's all here on the one screen, and that is the Today screen. There is some configurability over this Today screen, what is shown and what is not. You can choose to have an option on your Today screen on some of these devices that locks the device in the same way that you might have a keypad lock on your cell phone. And you can also download plugins that extend the Today screen's functionality. Those plugins seem to be quite common. I'm just going to check my status in terms of how much battery level I have and what my cellular strength is, etc. To do that, I'm going to long tap Virtual Key 4. So I'm going to hold it for about half a second or so. Let it go.
100% singular. Battery level is 93.
Excellent. So we've got a lot of battery level there. If I had Bluetooth turned on, it would tell me that. It doesn't at this point tell me whether Wi-Fi is turned on, it seems. But hopefully that might be added at a future release. The Pocket PC applications are standard, of course. They include Pocket Word, Pocket Excel, you've got Pocket Outlook, Pocket Internet Explorer, and more. And there will be some other applications that vary from device to device. Some devices now are including Pocket Skype, and there are some access issues with Pocket Skype right now. When I up and down arrow through my contacts, it's definitely changing the focus, but at the moment I'm not getting any feedback on that. I understand that scripts are being worked on. And when you look at how quickly this product has evolved, given how short a time it's been on the market, the progress is quite remarkable, so I'm sure that they will get there in terms of really good access to Pocket Skype. If you're comfortable using the MSP cursor, then it is definitely usable, and I have made calls using Pocket Skype, both telephone calls and also Skype to Skype calls. I'm going to move the screen to the right now, just slide it to the right, and the QWERTY keyboard has popped out. I'm going to put this on the desk, and now I'm going to press the Windows key to bring up the Start menu.
Today.
And we'll press P for Programs.
Programs window, list, games.
We are in a grid view now. And this is quite common in Pocket PC, where you have three or four applications to each line. And so to really explore this program's menu, you've got a right arrow through these and then down arrow. So let's just take a look at some of the things in here. I'm using the QWERTY keyboard to do this.
Active Sync, Calculator, Camera, Games.
See, now we're back to games, so I down arrow now.
Clear Ruby DF.
And you can hear the cell phone making some interference there.
Comm Manager.
We'll go into the Comm Manager now, because for some of the things I want to do for the rest of this demonstration, we need to be connected to the internet. So I'll press Enter.
Enter Comm Manager.
Now, in
Comm Manager window.
There we go, it's got focus. In my case, I have some real issues turning Wi-Fi on my device. I know my colleague who has the Singular 8125 and the ROM in there does not have this problem, and nor do many other people using various other devices. But on this, with the particular version of the ROM I am using, there's not a very accessible way to turn Wi-Fi on, and it just about drove me bald trying to work out how to get it to work. Again, this is one of the challenges we face when we're using mainstream technology, and there will be some variance in terms of accessibility. What I found, though, was that if I down arrow once when I'm in here, and then I press Enter, it has turned Wi-Fi on, so there's no speech there, and I can now confirm that Wi-Fi is working by tapping soft key 2.
Wi-Fi settings.
And that does talk. I can go into Wi-Fi settings now and check what's happening here.
Wireless LAN window, less 4, good greater, button 1 menu.
I'll press the tab key.
SSID colon, editor read only, fuels.
Okay, and it's told me that that's our network that we're connected to, so everything is all fine and dandy. Believe me, it took a long time to work this out. On many devices, when you go into the system tray, which you can do very easily with Mobile Speak Pocket, there's a little icon that allows you to turn Wi-Fi on or turn it off. I get all that with Bluetooth and the telephone, but not Wi-Fi for whatever reason, so it was a bit tricky to get that enabled. Now that I know what to do, of course, it's fine. So we have Wi-Fi enabled now, and that's good because it means we can get on the net whenever we need to. You could also get on the internet using GPRS if you have a data plan with your cellular provider. And of course, if you're using a different network, such as Verizon or Sprint, they have all kinds of nice high-speed options that you can access as well. As a rule, the CDMA network's data packages are more attractive in terms of speed than what GSM networks can offer at this point. Bluetooth is very easy to get going, at least on this device, in comparison with the Wi-Fi fun I had. And I have successfully used Bluetooth to pair my Braille Note with the QTEC 9100. You can surf the web independently with Mobile Speak Pocket, but if you want to use the Braille Note, you can use the 9100 as a modem and use the Braille Note's web browser as well, so there's just that choice available to you.